Peace be to you and grace from him who freed us from our sins, who loved us all and shed his blood that we might saved be. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus says. I don't think he was talking specifically about your experience here at Concordia Seminary when he said that. But nevertheless, I don't think he was exempting any of the stuff that you've gone through either. After all, even though the church at large would be shocked to hear me say it, this institution is still in the world. And because it is in the world, you can be certain that trouble will be never far away. And indeed, as I reflect on this past year, I know that that was the case. Just as in the past 12 months, any number of you have been in my office to talk about your trouble. For some, it was personality clashes with the field ed supervisor. Others of you had trouble with academics. A few of you were in my office and we had to break out my box of Kleenex because you were having trouble with your spouse. She was having a hard time adjusting to this odd way of living that we have around here called seminary life, and you didn't know if you could keep on keeping on and still remain happily married. Still others of you were visiting my office and we had to break out that box of Kleenex because there were serious personal issues going on in your life. Your health was keeping you from continuing in the program. Or you had a personality flaw that was inhibiting genuine, sincere, and meaningful interaction with the people of God. Whatever it was, many of you had real issues to deal with this past year. And all of you had trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus says. In this world, you will experience tribulation, distress, affliction, and all kinds of pressures simply because that's the way it goes in this world for the people of God. We're all kind of like women in labor, our Lord suggests. We have much to go through, much to endure, before the pressure is off, before there's any relief. This is the way it's always been for the people of God, and this is especially the way it's been for those who preach his gospel. The world is a thistle head, Martin Luther states. It points its prickles at you no matter in which direction you turn it. It's made up of a large mass of people who do not fear God, do not trust or love or praise or thank him, who misuse all creatures, blaspheme his name, despise his word, are disobedient, are murderers, adulterers, thieves and rogues, liars, traitors, full of unfaithfulness and all manner of evil tricks, and in short, transgressors of all commandments, rebels and opponents in all things, clinging to God's enemy, the wretched devil. And it is to this world that some of you are now called as pastors to go out and preach the gospel. It is to this world that some of you are now assigned as vicars to preach the gospel. And it is to this world that the rest of you, after today, will be licensed by this institution to preach the gospel. Why? Because even though it is corrupt and deceitful and full of sin, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for it. Our Lord has a heart for lost people. So much so that he's willing to put you at risk in order to save them. So he sends you out to preach the person and work of Jesus. Some will listen, some will not. But this you can take to the bank. Wherever and whenever you preach Jesus, there's going to be trouble. It's always been this way for God's preachers. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again, St. Paul confesses. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? He says, "You think you got problems? Ha! You ain't seen nothing yet. In this world, you will have trouble," Jesus says. It's always been that way for his preachers. But you know what? That's not our Lord's last word to those of us who would proclaim his name. Imagine, if you will, the following scenario. It's the middle of the evening when your studies are interrupted by an unexpected phone call. At first, you think it's a telemarketer at the other end trying to sell you vinyl siding or some new and improved long-distance service. But as you listen, you suddenly realize that the lady who's talking to you is not trying to sell you anything. Rather, she's a representative from a company well known to you, and she's informing you that you've just won her corporation's grand prize drawing. Your prize, she informs you, is a 1-month, all-expenses-paid vacation for you and your immediate family to a charming bed and breakfast in a quaint village in the Scottish countryside. Now, being a poor seminarian, it's that phrase, all expenses paid, that gets and holds your attention. At first, you don't believe her and are less than trusting. After all, if it sounds too good to be true, it has to be too good to be true, doesn't it? But then you vaguely remember having dropped a sweepstakes entry form into a big box at Schnucks a couple of months ago. And she now has your attention, so you continue to listen. All you have to do to claim your prize, she tells you, is to show up at our company's headquarters in downtown Clayton. You have 10 days to appear in person. Still somewhat skeptical, you set an appointment for the following day. You hang up, and for the first time, you allow yourself to think about that vacation in Scotland. "This has been an awful hard year for me and my family," you say to yourself. "We could really use a peaceful and relaxing getaway like that." So that night, as you sleep, visions of clear blue skies, quaint cobblestone streets, green meadows, and crystal clear Scottish streams dance in your head. The next afternoon, you're in downtown Clayton at one of those high-rise office buildings talking to the same lady. Indeed, there is no mistake. The grand prize month-long all-expenses-paid vacation to Scotland is yours. "You'll leave June 1st, 2001, she says. "Your TWA flight takes off at 7:45 p.m., so you'll need to be to the airport by 5:30. "Wait a second," you break in. "Don't you know that that's during rush hour? I hate driving in traffic. It's impossible to get anywhere." Ignoring your protests, the woman continues. You fly nonstop from St. Louis to Heathrow Airport in London. "London," you exclaim, "I don't want to go to London. I despise large urban areas. You never said anything about going to London. I want to go to Scotland." "You have to go to London to go to Scotland," she responds in an exasperated tone. You land in Heathrow Airport, where you'll catch a bus for a 1-hour ride to London. There you'll be dropped off at the train station. Once at the station, you'll have to catch a train that takes you to Edinburgh. It's a full day's ride. From there, you'll catch another bus that will take you out into the countryside to your bed and breakfast. Seems like a lot of trouble to go through just to collect something that's free, you observe out loud. Sir, she responds, trust me. The destination is worth all the trouble of getting there. We know what we're doing. We've done this before. We'll take care of you. We'll see to it that you get there. Guaranteed. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus tells you and me and all who follow him. But take heart, he promises. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. In other words, be of good cheer, my brothers, because we're going to make it. As sure as the cross is vacant and the grave is empty, our victorious Lord is going to see to it that we share in his victory. He's going to bless us and protect us in all we do and say in ministry, and he's going to carry us through every trial, every tribulation, every trouble, so that we arrive safely at his promised reward. In this world, you will have trouble, but so what? You have a Savior who has overcome the world, and with him on your side, with him in your corner, with him in your head, in your heart, and on your lips as you preach from the pulpit, I know that you are going to be an impact player. I know that your preaching is going to make a difference in the things that matter most. I know that hearts and lives will be changed by the Jesus that you present from the pulpit. It happened before, it can happen again. After all, it all started with just 10 stammering, stuttering, scared, stiff men in an upper room. Uneducated, confused, calloused hands, heavy accents, few social graces, all of them feeling lost and weighed down by the trouble of this world. But something happens to a man when he witnesses someone who has risen from the dead. Something stirs within the soul of a man who has been within inches of God. And it is something that proves stronger and more vital than anything that this world can dish out. Those 10 men, they would not keep silent. Their message of the Nazarene dominoed across the civilized world. They were an infectious fever. They were a moving organism. They refused to be stopped. They turned this world that gave them trouble upside down. What would it take for it to happen again? Somehow those first 10 men and the many others that came after him, they did it. They did it without dragging their feet or getting sidetracked by the troubles of this world. For them, it was all rather obvious. All I know is that he was dead, and he is alive now, they proclaimed. Something happens to a man when he stands within inches of the Lion of Judah. Something happens when he hears the roar and touches the golden mane. Something happens when he gets so close he can feel the lion's breath. The troubles of this world fade away, and the joys of the world to come burst through. Will you tell them, Jesus asked those first 10 preachers? Will you tell them that I came back and that I'm coming back again? We will, they answered. And they did. And so will you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.